Lord, we thank you for your promise that you are always with us.
Amen.
You are our Emmanuel.
Amen.
And yet thank you that at the same time, you are a God who hides himself.
Amen.
Lord, we want to see you.
Amen.
We want to know you.
Amen.
We've just, we know that you have a word for your church.
Amen.
To take us on.
Amen.
Lord, we do thank you for your testimony.
Amen.
In this city.
Amen.
We pray that your church would shine as a lampstand.
Amen.
Brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Lord, throughout the entire city.
Amen.
Even spread more.
Amen.
Lord, that unto you would be glory in the church.
Amen.
And your glory would be manifested.
Amen.
In this dark city.
Amen.
In this dark age.
Amen.
Gain your testimony.
Amen.
More and more among us.
Amen.
And through us.
Amen.
We thank you, dear Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it certainly is a joy to be all together and to see the saints from all the different meeting halls. It's actually always a joy for us that we have to open the walls and have more saints. I surely wish we could have the saints with us from hall three. When we have these times, they somewhat sacrifice to be there to make the accommodation. So we are thankful for those saints, and also to the Lord to give us another hall that between the two places, at least, we can accommodate everyone. I always look forward to these sessions, just to see one another. But also, I always have this feeling that when the Lord gathers us, he, as the speaking spirit, always has a word for his church, a timely word. And I can tell you that about a month ago, I began to consider and to pray. And a month ago, something came to me, and I thought, I even told some of the brothers, I think we should share this when we come together at the end of June. And I had been in that mode. I had been considering and praying even until Monday morning this week. And Monday morning this week, I opened the verses that you know were assigned to us, and you know we've been enjoying this week. This is the final message of the semi-annual training, message 12. I guess we'll go on. The brothers will tell us what we're going on to. I forget right now. Starting this coming week, but making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. That's next. That's next. Actually, all of these things fit together. I do believe this is the Lord's leading. But the title of the message that we were reviewing is this: A God Who Hides Himself, the Hidden God. A God Who Hides Himself, the Hidden God. And it wasn't that title, it was the verse. I opened to the verse and I started to pray over this verse. And it's the first verse was, we read this, Isaiah, there it is, 45:15. Surely you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. This word, surely, 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 you are a God who hides himself. This spoke to me. You know, Isaiah's writing, and the prophets, many of the prophets, they're speaking. The Lord raised them up. Actually, many of them in times of degradation. And the situation was not positive among the Lord's holy people. We've mentioned this before, that the kind of high peak of the history of Israel, we find that in 1 Kings chapter 8, with that in that part of the history, the wandering is already done. They came to the good land through Joshua. The Lord led them in, and they had all the battles, and they took the land. And then the Lord raised up eventually David, and there was a kingdom. And the Lord put in his heart to build a home, a house for Jehovah. And of course, this is the expression of God's desire. And so he was not able to do it, but that didn't stumble him in any way when God said, you can't do it. He got everything ready. And then Solomon was the one that built the temple. And the dedication of the temple is in 1 Kings 8, and the ark is brought in. So in a sense the tabernacle is merged with now the temple, and the Lord's glory fills the house. And in that chapter, Solomon offers a very, very wonderful prayer. And it's interesting that even in this prayer, there was a consideration for what would happen in degradation. Because when he prayed, he said, if your people are carried away, and they pray toward this house, toward this city, and toward this land. Actually, I think it's opposite. Toward the land, toward this city, and to the house. Then, Lord, answer their prayer. Answer their prayer. So even at the high peak of the glorious time of God's people, there was something there. Because probably the Lord knew what would happen. But anyway, then the degradation came through the worship of idols. And the Lord would send the prophets to speak. And the Lord used the nations surrounding them, particularly Egypt, Assyria, and primarily Babylon. And many were taken away. But anyway, at different stages of this history, the Lord sent the prophets. And Isaiah, of course, was one of the primary ones. And we saw actually in Isaiah 6, King Uzziah had just died. And it was a time of maybe even being depressed and concerned. But yet the Lord strengthened Isaiah with a vision of the Lord's glory, Isaiah said, Surely, you are a God who hides himself. This is the testimony of someone who's experienced and who knows the Lord's personality, who knows his nature. You know, I hope that all of us, from the youngest, I can see here, maybe there's 11 years old, 12 years old, even in this congregation, to the oldest, I don't know who's the oldest, we all would know the God who hides himself. So as I was going through this Monday morning after my time with the Lord, I had a strong sense, we need to speak this on the Lord's Day. The Lord has a word for his church concerning this matter. Because in the Old Testament, we can see this. In the New Testament, we can see this. In our history, we can see this. In our personal history, we can see this. That God is a God who hides himself. It came out in the prayer. That he is also Emmanuel, right? His promise is that he's always with us. But why is it that in our personal history and in our church history, we come to periods of time, not days, periods of time, that our feeling genuinely is, Lord, where are you? Are you not hearing my prayer? Are you not listening to my prayer? That's personal. And even as the church, there have been times we have prayed for different ones. And there's a feeling eventually, Lord, aren't you here? Aren't you seeing? Aren't you listening? Both of these at the same time. that he is both the God who is always with us, our Emmanuel, yet still he displays this aspect of his nature, that he is a God who hides himself. Yet, even while he's hiding, he's very active. This is what we see in the example of the book of Esther. You know, I remember the first time I didn't realize this for myself, but I was told that God's name, it doesn't mention God even one time in the book of Esther. I was a young believer, and I thought, really? Can there be a book in the Bible that doesn't mention God's name at all? So, of course, I had to check and I had to read it for myself. Then I said, yep, I guess it's true. Not one time. But you surely see God's hand. You surely see God operating things in his sovereignty behind the scenes from the beginning to the end of the book. What an encouragement that is, that God cared for his people. God cared for his people in a hidden way. Eventually, there was a kind of outward salvation. But even this, he carried it out secretly. He was operating there. And in our lives, brothers and sisters, in our lives, I think we all have already experienced the hidden God. The hidden God. May his training of us, because these are his, this is his training. Sometimes he tests us. May we never be stumbled. May we never be stumbled. But may our faith be strengthened in our Emmanuel, the God who hides himself. We enjoyed these verses in Luke 18, this parable that the Lord gave. If the Lord Jesus did not say this parable himself, it would be hard to take. But he likens God himself, the Father, to an unrighteous judge who at the beginning has no mercy or compassion. Why would he do that? If not from his own mouth, I think we would have to stop everyone else. Please, don't use such an example. But the Lord Jesus, then there's the widow, which is us, his people, and she's praying, avenge me of my opponent. And this shows, dear saints, we all have an opponent. While the Lord is operating on us and we're in his hand and he's doing so many positive things in us and for us and around us, for ourselves and for the building of the church, we have an opponent. We have an opponent. And there's this cry, avenge me of my opponent. And then it seems like the judge at first does nothing. But eventually he has to testify. Oh, lest she wear me out. I'll do something. Wear me out. Again, this is from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. So this is telling us, this is from the heart of God. He likes it when we are persistent to the point that we're wearing him out. He likes that. And you know, at the end of this section in Luke 18, verses 7 and 8, he says, "And will not God, by all means, carry out the avenging of his chosen ones who cry to him day and night, though he is long suffering over them?" But I want to highlight verse 8. "I tell you, that he will carry out their avenging quickly." Even here, he says quickly. But our sense is, it's not that quick. It's not quick enough. We read Revelation 6, the cry of the martyred saints beneath the altar. Do they feel it's quickly? The Lord has to tell them, yeah, it's quickly, but not yet. Quickly, rest a while. There's more. more of your brothers are coming. Rest a while. So even he says, quickly, you may tell the Lord, Lord, I don't like your definition of quickly. Have you ever told the Lord that? It's not quick enough for me. It's okay to speak to the Lord. And he will tell you, anyway, it's quickly. Nevertheless, and this is what I'd like to highlight, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And dear saints, this is the concern. As the Lord hides, as the Lord will, he promises he will accomplish certain things. Yet for, as we measure time, as our heart is involved with so many situations of those around us, it's very possible that our faith will be weakened through the Lord's apparent inaction. Apparent. Through the Lord's apparent inactivity, it's very possible our faith goes down a little bit. Oh, dear saints, may we all have the breastplate of faith and love, as it says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, the breastplate of faith and love. And even as it says in Ephesians 6, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. I hope our shield of faith is not just that big. You understand? You might be holding a little shield. It doesn't protect you too much. You know, in certain cultures, you know this from history. There are some shields. Maybe today the young people know Captain America. And he carries a shield about that big. You know, that's a make-believe hero, right? Shield, right? But not even that shield. You hold it here. They can shoot your foot. There are shields that actually cover your entire body. And then they have a little thing that you can see. And you can move the shield forward. You can move forward. We need a shield of faith for the warfare that we are in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we also read this verse. In 2 Thessalonians 2, I'll read starting from verse 1. We didn't read that. Now we ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. So this chapter is talking about the Lord's coming. And Paul says this, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor alarmed, neither by a spirit, nor by word, nor by a letter, as if by us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. And then it goes on to talk about the things that will occur when the man of lawlessness is manifested, that coming day, which we just have a sense very soon. But I want to highlight verse 2. It says, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor alarmed. And I was interested in this word alarmed this week. Alarmed. Because sometimes we become alarmed when we hear news. When we hear, even see something in the news in society, we become alarmed. Or when we hear something about some saint passing through something, or one of our loved ones, maybe our children or our grandchildren, we become alarmed. And so I looked into this a little bit, and this word alarmed, I like to tell you the meaning in Greek. And it's amazing, you know, that again, the Lord's wisdom to use the Greek language for the writing of the Bible is so rich. We can receive so much just from one word. This is the word alarmed. It means unsettled, thrown into confusion, troubled, disturbed, wanting to cry aloud or scream because of feeling terrorized. Has some news ever done that with you? You want to scream. You're so bothered. You're startled by this. Almost like, where, Lord, where are you? If you are real, how could this happen? I believe maybe all of us at one time or another in our life asked, Lord, how could this happen? Or, Lord, how could you allow this to happen? Have you never challenged God this way? He's the hiding God. Even at that time, he's with us and he's for us. He's for us. We just don't see what he's doing. We just don't see what he's doing. Oh, may we have the eyes of faith to be able to say, Lord, I don't understand. But Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I trust that you're in control. Lord, I need you. Maybe we need to pray those words of that father in the Gospels. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I do believe, but I don't believe. Help my unbelief. Actually, dear saints, what we need to do, the key in all these situations, is to come forward. To come forward to the Lord and breathe out to him all our unbelief, all our unrest, all the terror, all the problem that we have, even with how he's handling the situation, and allow him to breathe himself into us, to be our faith, to be our faith. You know, in 1 Kings 19, I think we all know that story of the prophet, where there, it says there was an earthquake and the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was a fire, there was a wind, the Lord was not there. But then there was what? A gentle, quiet voice. In the King James Version, it says, a still, small voice. Dear saints, when the things occur, whether it's personally, maybe regarding our health, there may be things. We pray, Lord, how long? Or certain loved ones, Lord, how long? Lord, they're suffering. As if we're educating him, and he does not know that they're suffering. But still, that's what's in our heart. We should utter it before the Lord. And maybe it's in the church, some situation. And we have in different times in our history, in the church here, in the Lord's recovery, in different localities, situations arise. We feel, in what I read you, it said, thrown into confusion. I could tell you that as a testimony. A certain thing happened. It's just confusing. Lord, isn't this your move? Isn't this your church? Isn't this your recovery? Then how could such a thing be here, take place? And then we pray and we pray, and it seems no answer. No answer. But I tell you, when we come forward to him, as it says in Matthew 6, pray to your Father who is in secret. When we allow him to bring us into the secret place, even hide ourselves there. I tell you, dear saints, there is a gentle, quiet voice, always. There is a gentle, quiet voice. There is the Lord's inner speaking. Even he just has to say these words, I am. I am. You know, he is the eternal I am. I am. I am. That's his name. I am. He might say, I'm here. I'm here. I remember one going through something like this. This was in my teenage years. And the Lord spoke these two words to me. Be still. And saints, you know, that's from Psalm 46. I believe verse 10. Be still. And I was in the middle of a kind of situation, pulled in many directions. And I spent some time, even by that time, I was only 17, but I had the habit of going to the Lord, of pouring out to Him, of telling Him all my genuine feelings. And He spoke these two words to me, be still. Saints, I could tell you that the calm and the peace came from these two words. The situation did not change instantly. Eventually it did. The situation did not change, but I tell you there was a supply from these two words. So I would say the key then, even to appropriate the faith, is to ask the Lord, Lord, hide me with you. Lord, you're hiding. I want to hide too. I want to hide in you. You know, in Psalm 31:20, it says, you will hide them in the hiding place of your presence. Oh, I've prayed this verse many times. Lord, I just want to hide here. I just want to hide with you. And I tell you, saints, when we're hiding with Him, when we're hiding with Him, there could be a storm outside, but we are in the calm of the Lord's presence, of the Lord's presence. And our faith is strengthened. Our faith for the Lord to accomplish what He will in me, to accomplish what He will in our loved ones. And remember, faith is not by the things we see, but the things we don't see. Because when we look at our loved ones, the situation hasn't changed. How could you have faith? You can have faith. You can have strengthening faith. In the message we saw, you can have linking faith that links you to all the riches just by the still, small voice in his presence. I'll close with this. I want to recommend four hymns to you. And I'll turn it to the brothers. I'm not going to look at all of them. I'll give you the numbers. And this is something that I hope you would consider, even to sometime this week. Look at these hymns and pray these hymns. Pray over them, not just sing them, but pray them. Maybe the Lord would bring you into the secret place. And in doing so, strengthen your faith. That the whole church would be strengthened in the breastplate of faith and love. Okay, we have hymn 1058. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me what? Hide myself in thee. I prayed that this week. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Hymn 334. Actually, sometimes even in the Lord's table, these two hymns, we sing this. You know what that says? He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Another hymn is 553. We might not be so familiar with this one. 553, it says, in the secret of His presence, how my soul delights to hide. In the secret of His presence, how my soul delights to hide. And the last one, more familiar, 564. In 564, I have learned, is that the one? Yes. I have learned the wondrous secret, right, of abiding in the Lord. The chorus says, I'm abiding in the Lord and confiding in His word. I am hiding in the bosom of His love. Saints, I just close with this. Actually, our being strengthened in faith and knowing the God who hides himself. One key, I said, is to come and hide with him, but it also has much to do with our relationship with the Word of God. When we touch the Word, we have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. I think many of us know the chorus to that. Maybe we just sing the chorus to 564. How does it start? Abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word.
So our brother shared that Isaiah knew God. He knew God's nature. He was experienced with God. And knowing, to know God, it involves our mind. So actually, I'd like to start off how important it is for us in the New Testament we see to have a renewed mind. Amen. In the same verses in 2 Thessalonians, it says, do not be alarmed. Do not be shaken in your mind. Do not be shaken in your mind. You know, we know very clearly that when we're regenerated, it's totally different than being unregenerated. It is a stark difference. It's just two sides. In the same way, having a renewed mind is very different from not having an unrenewed mind. But we may not consider so much. We think we're regenerated, everything is fine. Not only do we need to be regenerated, to have the life of God, but we need our mind to be renewed. Many verses in Romans, right, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And in Ephesians 4, it says that we need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not that just we can know God in our spirit, but our mind has to be in the right state. Our mind has to be in the right state. I'd like to go back to the verses that we covered in Matthew about the coming of the Lord. And I think it's so sovereign that this week we're going to start making ourselves ready for the coming of our Lord. And I'd like to read from these verses. 1 Peter chapter 4. But the end of all things has drawn near. Therefore, be sober-minded and be sober unto prayers. Above all, have fervent love among yourselves, because love covers a multitude of sins. Actually, in these verses, when it's talking about the end of all things and the Lord's coming, actually, we have two of our banners, one related to prayer and the second to love one another. And I just realized, what is it to have to love one another? What is it to have fervent love? Actually means to have more church life. Amen. Actually, how do we show our love for one another? We need to be in the church. We need to be in the meetings. We need to be in one another's homes. We need to have the contact among the saints. But it's possible that in our life, you know, we may not have that much contact. Or we used to, but now it's less. Actually, I feel the Lord is speaking to us. We need to have more church life. Amen. This is the beginning of the summer. I know there's a lot of summer activities, and it might be that you think, oh, again, so, church life is so busy. Actually, another way to look at this, the busy church life, is to go back to Matthew 24 and see the type in Noah. It is the building of the ark, right? In Matthew 24... we have those verses, just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what was Noah doing that time? He was building the ark. And for us, that actually, this ark is Christ. It's also the corporate Christ. It's the church life. So everything that we're doing is actually building the ark. It's saving us from God's judgment, and is also separating us from the evil generation that's there today. For as they were in those days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day in which Noah entered into the ark. You may not think that this is this much, eating and drinking, marrying. You know, actually, Noah was doing these things. Noah was eating and drinking. His sons were married. Otherwise, his sons and their wives wouldn't be able to get into the ark. But what was different? Actually, Noah, their goal was the ark. All the other people, and maybe some of them helped Noah, but their goal was not the ark. Their goal was in something else. You know, how many ambitions, how many aspirations the people had during that time. But what happened to all those things? Actually, we realized it was all vain. God's judgment came, the waters came, and they were all wiped away. You know, if you read the notes in that case, the condition of the people at that time, they were befuddled. They were confused. They couldn't see clearly. In the same way, in this age, it's possible that we cannot see things clearly. Our hopes, our aims, our goals are in other things. Maybe in our children, maybe it's in our family, maybe it's in our job. Yes, we participate in the church life and we do a lot of things, but our goal is not aligned. We are not seeing clearly. So in all these places, it's so clear, the end of all things has drawn near, therefore we need to be sober-minded. Our mind, the condition of mind is so crucial. We need to be sober. We need to be saved from a drunken stupor. And this is so easy, even for believers, regenerated ones, to be in this condition because our mind is not renewed. So we need to pray to the Lord, Lord, give me a renewed mind, that my mind will be renewed. It's possible we can sit in a meeting and listen to the words concerning the Lord's coming, but still our heart is for something in the world. Our heart is something for ourselves. Something is not able to penetrate. Something is not able to, we're not able to see the vision because our mind is not renewed. So may the Lord have mercy on us. May we pray for this in a specific way. And actually, I'd like to, the other condition, if we look at Ephesians 4, where it talks about that you will be renewed in the mind, it talks about the condition of the Gentiles at that time. And it says that, I say and I testify in the Lord, so this is also Paul's testimony, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind. You know, our mind, we can think about so many things, and it's just vanity. You know, brother mentioned that we should actually spend time with hymns. We should spend time in the Word. Actually, all this time helps our mind to be renewed. Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. How is our mind renewed? We have to set our mind on the Spirit. You know, I observe my children, and then I worry because the things they talk about. They could talk, you know, we talk about the Bible, we could talk a little bit. But then we talk about another subject, something from popular culture. Oh, they get so excited and they could talk. Actually, I could talk a lot too. You consider what things excite us, what things that we get interested in. We're so involved and we could talk so much. But when it comes to God's Word, sometimes it's not that easy. And we can't spend that much time to talk about something in God's Word. Actually, this shows us, again, that our mind is still, there's much to be renewed. There's much that needs to happen within us so that we can receive the vision. We can know God's will. So that way, when things happen in the world, calamities, we're not shaken, but actually we recognize this is God's hand. God is coming again. This can change the direction of our entire life, change the direction of our family. So here it says that we no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind. being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. And then because of the hardness of their heart, and then verse 19, it says, who being past feeling, and this very touched me very much, being past feeling, you know, as regenerated ones, we should be full of feeling. The divine life is within us. The very God lives in us. We have within us the light of life. We should be full of feelings. And so there's these words, the sense of life. You know, this verse in Romans 8:6, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. What is life and peace? Actually, that's a sense of the divine life. You know, every life has a certain sense. You know, our physical body, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear. There are a lot of things. Even our psychological being, there's some sense. You know, you tell something funny to someone, there's a reaction. Something might come out. You say something else, and then tears might come out. Actually, in our spirit, we have the highest sense, the highest consciousness that we can know God. Amen. This sense is in our spirit, but how much do we pay attention to this sense within us? And this sense, you know, here it says that they, being past feeling, they cast off feelings. They cease to care. And I like to share this, you know, our mind being renewed has much to do with our taking care of the sense of life. You know, some simple examples might be that, you know, maybe you're used to going to meetings a lot. You had a very active church life, and then you always went to the meetings. After work, you go. But then, you know, one day you might say, oh, you know, I'm just so tired, and, you know, maybe I'll just go home. And then instead of going to the meeting, you're on your way home. And then there might be a certain sense there. Right? Well, what do you do with that sense? Right? What is that sense? Do you realize that that sense is the very God? Do you take care of that? Do you engage God or do you just ignore it? You know, actually, it may be the first time you ignore it, you go home. Second time, again, the feeling, you ignore it, you go home. Eventually, that feeling would cease. Not because that God in life is not active, but we stop caring for that feeling. May we be those that never stop caring for the feeling of the divine life within us. In the same way, it's, you know, not just whether going to the meetings, a lot of things in our life. The first time, there might be some feeling, actually even at home when you're with your spouse, it may be some words. You're talking in some way, and then in your argument or in your words, in your conversation, you feel you're right, but the sense of life is different. And often we like to be right and we like to know others that we're right, but you check with yourself. The more you stick with your feeling of being right, how much you're darkened. But when you turn and you stop and you just shut your mouth, how much you feel life. This is the sense of life. You know, even our youngest believers, you know, we're going to have baptisms today for the fifth and sixth graders. Even the youngest believers, they have the sense of life within them. How wonderful this is. But throughout our life, we have to take care of this sense. Actually, this sense is the key to the Christian life. It's the key eventually to know God's will. So, saints, maybe I'll end here. The sense of life. Oh, may we be so exercised to take care of this feeling. May we have a renewed mind, and may we be sober in these days. Amen. Amen.
Since next week we'll be covering making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming by loving His appearing and not loving the present age. This is a precious title for our pursuing together. This week, past week, and we've been covering the crystallization training on the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and Ezra, and Nehemiah, then Esther. So the last message, message 12, is on the on the book of Esther. Like our brother mentioned, this book, God was never mentioned. And this book, the message is concerning a God who hides himself. Our God is a hiding God. I think we all enjoy what the what Ricky mentioned about, you know, our God is hiding in the book of Esther, and is hiding in his creation. You know, after he created, he hides himself in the whole creation. And in the Old Testament, he was hiding. In the New Testament, he's hiding. And he is hiding in our personal life and in our church life also. I'm here, I realize, is the hiding God. He did in my life. Otherwise, I won't be here. I think many of us, we will acknowledge that. I think our eyes is on the invisible one. He has done so much. If we read the book of Esther, we will see. He has done so much when the people of Israel, the whole tribe was going to be wiped out. And solemnly, he used a girl, his orphan. And he used his uncle, you know. His uncle, in fact, was a was maybe the same, you know, just a relative of the same age, of the same, how do you say that? You know, they are the on the same level. But anyway, and God used so many things to in order to eventually save the whole tribe of Israel. So I really appreciate that that we can see this matter in this light. You know, when the message connect Luke chapter 18 with Esther, I was kind of surprised. You know, of course, God in Old Testament is hiding God, but it's very clear that in Luke 18, when the Lord Jesus gave the parable, he compared God to the unrighteous judge, not answering the prayer when the people are, when the Lord's people are suffering. So he spoke concerning this parable. This parable, it bothers me that, you know, the Lord compared God to an unrighteous judge, like our brother mentioned. And it also bothered me to the end of this section concerning, and will not God by all means carry out the vengeance of his chosen ones who cry to him day and night, though he is long-suffering over them? I thought, you know, the praying ones are long-suffering, but God is long-suffering over the praying one. Eventually, I realized, in fact, it's in the context of the Lord's coming. He also mentioned, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? So we need faith when the Lord comes. Of course, it's not the initial faith, you know, when we receive the Lord. Because we will say, I have faith. Everybody will say, I have faith. But what kind of faith is he finding? I think, like a brother mentioned, the faith in us need to grow even to become the shield of faith. The brothers mentioned that use a special word, joining faith, a linking faith. So the linking faith, not just for our salvation, but linking faith also link us to the triune God, link to his unsearchable riches as our supply. So today, the Lord, to me, I fully realize the Lord is long-suffering to me, at least. I'm not ready. I don't know whether you're ready, but the Lord is long-suffering. Of course, to avenge, the Lord will quickly avenge, but to us, you know, the Lord said, you know, he will hopefully he will find faith in us and that we will be ready. You know, in chapter 17 also mentioned concerning the Lord's coming, concerning the days of Noah, I think the days of Lot, and whether two are sleeping in bed, he will take one, and two sisters and grinding the mill, he will take one, and the two brothers working in the field, he will take one. So today, this portion is a reminder to me that the Lord is, on one hand, he wants to answer the prayer, but on the other hand, oh Lord, we all need to be ready. So I think the Lord is using this portion to show us the hiding God. He's doing a lot. Doing a lot, not just to save us hourly, you know, the Lord saved the children of Israel hourly, but he's saving us inwardly. You know, many things in us need to be saved. I think the more we experience the Lord, the more we realize that we are not there yet. So I feel it's very sovereign that the Lord gave us every year some banners to help us to go on, especially the church in New York City. This year's banner is concerning a truth constitution, also concerning the prayer ministry, and also concerning, what's the last one? Loving the Lord and loving one another. I think the Lord leads us very much until now. You know, even the training, it touches the matter of the intrinsic significance of the ministry of Ezra and the leadership of Nehemiah. In this context, concerning the building, we need this kind of ministry and we need this kind of leadership in order for us to go on. And one point the Lord touched me. In the book of Esther, the word God is not mentioned. And this is, of course, God is the hiding God. But even the word God is not mentioned, that means there's something something is not, you know, God does not acknowledge the ones remain. Because if you put the book of Esther in the context of Ezra and Nehemiah, the book of Esther is within the scope of the book Ezra. So during the book of Ezra, they were returning Jews to Jerusalem. And there was eventually they built the temple. And Nehemiah, of course, is after both, because Nehemiah returned to build the wall. So today, thank the Lord, today we are not like the book of Esther. God is just taking of us hourly, physically, and his purpose is not with them in a Gentile world, but rather he wants to build his temple and he wants to build his city. And this is why we are here today. To build, we see that in the book, in the ministry of Ezra and the leadership of Nehemiah, there was the need of God's word. Because even the returning people, basically, they are just Babylonians. They've been away from the good land. They've been away, and they had no God's word. And Ezra and Nehemiah, they're both very burdened. So today, for us to be in the church here, the Lord leading us, that we all need to love the truth. So thank the Lord to give us the love for the truth. Amen. That I'm very thankful that the Lord is leading all of us. Doesn't matter the languages, but we are pursuing. We're very much in the book of Romans, and that there are other, you know, the ministry books, and there are other areas the saints are pursuing, even the truth lessons. All these are for us to be constituted with the truth. One verse very touched me was in 1 Peter 1:22. It mentioned that since you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So the truth needs to be constituted into us. I don't know whether obedience to the truth is after constitution or before the constitution. But anyway, the two are very much related together. So the truth is not just for us to know, to be constituted. We all need to learn to say amen to the Lord. There will be the obedience of the truth. Then the love will come afterwards. Because you mentioned that since you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth and to unfeigned brotherly love. Love one another from a pure heart, fervently. Then you say, where's loving God? The Lord is the truth. When we love the truth, we love the Lord. Amen. So we all need to pursue to be constituted with the truth. And of course, we need prayers. You know, the Lord, Luke 18 is concerning perseverance in prayers. At the end, I just mentioned a few testimonies. You know, we had a funeral meeting remembering our brother, then the meeting was concerning this brother. You know, he doesn't speak much, and I don't remember. I hear him speak in the meeting, but he loved the word, and he loved the Lord. He loved, you know, he prayed. And also, he loved the church. Our brother touched the matter of the church meeting, of course. When we we love the church life, we love the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, sometimes you don't love the church life. Because when we love the Lord, our Lord is a church-loving Christ. So there's something related, very spontaneous for us to love the Lord and love the church life. I heard a few testimony concerning some of the saints. They are elderly, and they love the truth pursuing. They love the busy church life. And they say that church life, that kind of church life, saved them. And they are just forgetting everything else, you know. They won't have too much time, free time. Since when we don't have a free time, I think it's a big salvation to us. Doesn't matter how old you are, because the Lord has all the chances, opportunity to fill us. And may we continue in the whole church to have truth, pursuing, to be constituted with the truth, and to love the Lord. And not to love one another by our own love. Our love will be exhausted. But loving the Lord and loving one another with his love. And also continue to pray. And I heard a sister, she lost a prayer partner. She said, I need one. She asked the Lord, and the Lord provided one. So may we continue. You know, the year has not finished yet, but we can continue our pursuing. Are enjoying the Lord and are enjoying the church life.
Amen.
And come to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
And also have your own prayer partners. I think that really helps. You know, whether in the morning or in the afternoon, or when you have whenever you have something needs to pray, find a prayer partner. I think that will be a salvation to you and to others. Amen.
Okay, this is working. Well, so good to hear about the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God renews our mind.
Amen.
Ephesians 5, it speaks about the washing of the water in the Word.
Amen.
Also, our faith is strengthened by the Word of God. So we just wanted to mention a little bit about the church banners this year. The brothers have already mentioned church banners are pursuit of truth constitution.
Amen.
Intercessory prayer.
Amen.
And loving the Lord and loving one another.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to say something a little bit more about the matter of truth constitution. And You know, we've emphasized this year in all of our fellowship related to this banner, mostly the matter of getting into the life study messages. And of course, the Word of God, reading the Word. Yet the life studies really, really open up the Word for us. And just want to underscore a few of the benefits that come from this, both on the corporate side and then on our personal side. You know, of course, we're going to be covering this matter of the Lord's return this coming week and being ready for the Lord's coming. Yet, it's possible. The Lord says, I come quickly, but His consideration of quickly may be very different than ours. It's possible. It's possible. What if we're here for another 20 years together? What will the church life be in 20 years? What will the church life be? It has so much to do with the truth that we are constituted with between now and then. Amen. What am I spending my time on? Brothers and sisters, the Lord needs this. The Lord needs this. What the church will be depends on the truth that is inside of us.
Amen.
And this happens over a long period of time. Tough to get constituted in 6 months. Difficult to get constituted in 1 year. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Should see the long-term view. You know, on the personal side, being in the truth and being constituted with the truth, it's such a help. The Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, it says, the Lord heals by His word. Someone came to Him and said, Lord, speak a word, and she will be healed. It's by the Lord speaking that we're healed. Well, I can speak for myself, and I imagine you're in the same spot. Probably recognized by this point in our life, we are all very sick. We are all very sick, and we need the Lord. Praise the Lord, He's our physician.
Amen.
And just in a personal interaction with the Lord some time ago, I just said, you know, Lord, I come to You, but I'm still so sick. What kind of doctor are You? You know, I stay the same. And the Lord just kind of spoke to me. He said, well, Aaron, you know, you go to the doctor for two kinds of things. Sometimes it's something acute. You got a broken bone and you get healed. Well, there's doctors that take care of chronic illnesses too. And my illness is a chronic illness. I need to come to Him again and again.
Amen.
Well, the Lord has much more way to speak to us when we are constituted with the truth.
Amen.
When the truth is in us, it gives the Lord a very big vocabulary with which to speak.
Amen.
He's able to speak something to us so much. And this has such a benefit, not only for our church life, but for our marriage life, our personal life, all of our relationships. When the Lord is able to speak to us through His Word, it fixes almost everything in our life.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, so we want some encouragement. Stay in the Word.
Amen.
And so we started off in February talking about different reading schedules. And it's possible we may have set a goal. I'm going to read 2 life studies every week. And then it's possible maybe I read 1 or part of 1, and that's it. And it's been since February since I picked up the life study messages. It's unnecessary to raise your hand, but maybe some of us are in this spot. Well, I just want to say something, maybe a little warning. Maybe the Lord could speak here a little bit. Actually, in our study of Romans, we've seen a couple of verses you put together, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. And you look at 1 Corinthians 15:56, the power of sin is the law. So what this means is we can have the law, whether that's the Ten Commandments or even something we pick up ourselves, like I'm going to read 2 life studies every week. And then because of my weakness, I fail. And then sin takes advantage of that and uses that law to bring in discouragement and death. Mm-hmm. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning, let's forget about that.
Amen.
Let's forget about setting a standard for ourselves and just simply pursue.
Amen.
If we fall behind today, we get up tomorrow. If we've fallen behind for 4 months, we have a fresh start.
Amen.
I like Proverbs 24:16. Is that up here? The righteous man falls 7 times and rises again.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, let's have this attitude toward our pursuit of the truth.
Amen.
This is something long term. We lost 4 months. That's okay. We've got 20 years. Let's keep pursuing.
Amen.
You know, even if we were just to build up the habit, one life study a week this year, what a victory to the Lord. That can do so much. And then next year, two life studies a week. The Lord will be able to do so much with us personally and so much with the church corporately.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's pursue.
Amen.
Let's make these coming months a month of pursuit. Just want to, you know, echo the sharing of all the brothers. You know, can we bring up Luke chapter 18, verse 5? You know, there's something very touching in that verse. It really kind of encapsulates what the brothers have been sharing with us. In verse 5 there, you see the response of the judge to the widow. And what the judge says, he says, "Yet because this widow has caused me trouble, I will avenge her." And then here's his diagnosis of what she does. "Lest by continually coming, she wear me out." I was so touched by these two words, continually coming. Brothers and sisters, pursuing is a matter of continually coming.
Amen.
And as our brother shared earlier, you know, the Lord's silence is not a reason that we stop continually coming. And the Lord's seeming inaction in our outward environment is not a reason for us to stop continually coming.
Amen.
Actually, the Lord is our Emmanuel.
Amen.
He is always with us, and he is always for us.
Amen.
And we believe in him. And this phrase, continually coming, of course, here it's talking about prayer, but as our brother shared, we can continually come to the Word. You know, the church has been having this truth pursuit. And I just want to testify something, my personal testimony. You know, it's, you're right, it's easy when you look at the news to be alarmed, to be shaken. And we may even go through many of life's transitions. But you know, I realized actually, because the truth pursuit, you know, every day there are verses, every week there's verses, there are reading material, there are hymns and so forth. What I realized is, if I get into these things, I don't have time to look at anything else. All my time is either family or church life or truth pursuit or a job. You just don't have time to read the things that will cause you to be alarmed or cause you to be shaken. And then as we're reading, as I'm reading it, the Word has a way to not only wash and renew the mind, to sober the mind, the Word also has a way to be our hope, to be our hope and to keep us stable and secure.
Amen.
You know, the Romans 15 does tell us that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we have hope.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, lastly, not only do we come to the Word, dive into the church's truth pursuit, I'd also say, as our brothers share, we can dive and come continually to the things in the church life,
Amen.
To the church activities.
Yes.
You know, sometimes in the district, you hear these announcements, right? The brothers say, okay, and the sign up for the Family Bible Camp, the sign up for the Summer School of Truth, the sign up for this conference, and it kind of just comes in here and goes out the other. And we may not know what it is, or if we know what it is, we don't know why it's important. But brothers and sisters, everything that we have this summer, whether it's the Family Bible Camp, the Summer School of Truth, all the conferences, the Truth Pursuit, they help the Lord to grow in us.
Amen.
And the Lord has a way to move in us.
Amen.
The biggest move of the Lord is not what's outside of us, it's what's inside us.
Amen.
So when we get into these things, it benefits not only us, but even our families. In the church in your city, there's something for, I would say, people of every age group.
Amen.
If you have children, we have the Family Bible Camp.
Amen.
If you have young people, we have the Summer School of Truth.
Amen.
If you're a young adult or middle age, we have things for you too. If you're a senior saint, an evergreen saint, we have the senior saints meeting, the evergreen meetings. Brothers and sisters, there's not a lack of things in the church life.
Amen.
So let's give ourselves to come continually to the Word, to prayer, and to the church life.
Amen.
Let's make this summer really count.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's have three or four brothers stand to pray and to close this meeting.
Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Oh, how we thank you for gathering us today.
Amen.
Thank you for caring for your church here so much.
Amen.
Thank you for loving us so much.
Amen.
Oh, we give the rest of this year to you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you that we can pursue the truth with one another.
Amen.
Thank you that we can get to know you as the God who hides himself.
Amen.
May we continue to experience you and know you day by day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you for the church in New York City.
Amen.
Thank you for the word that you've spoken to us this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, you are Emmanuel.
Amen.
Thank you are the God who hides himself.
Amen.
Thank you are always for us.
Amen.
Oh, we just tell you, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We give the rest of this year to you.
Amen.
Lead us in pursuing the truth.
Amen.
Lead us in our prayers.
Amen.
Lead us in our love for you and our love for one another.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
Oh, praise you for your speaking.
Amen.
Oh, grant us ear to hear.
Amen.
Oh,